Howdy, howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 420, The Beauty of Black and White. How you guys doing? Wow, busy week. Hey, some more and more of you are going to Spotify and leaving comments. We're having a little bit of a conversation. I'm so stoked. I appreciate it. Your kind words mean a lot, but being able to answer questions, well, that's why I'm really here. I mean, that's what being a Nikon ambassador is really kind of all about, is to be able to help anywhere, anytime I can, on even the smallest trivia thing. So I appreciate you guys stopping by and commenting. I really appreciate the love that came out from that real simple comment or blog post about the set focus point off in the shooting menu and going to infinity. It works really well. Now, if the lens is cold or hot, been dinged up a little bit, it's not going to work. But a perfectly functioning lens in your basic temperatures, even if you warm up your hand, you turn it off, turn it back on, it will be set to infinity. I've done this with everything from the 14 to 24 to the 600 TC. It works. So I'm glad it's working for you guys. Once again, I am continually using the Adobe Podcast Beta, which is what's producing the audio and the PDF now, which is really cool. Keep doing that. People have been asking. Yep, I am still with it. It just makes it very simple for me to do a podcast, be it here in the office or on the road. Had a number of folks wonder if I do it all. Yeah, I do it. I mean, it's not like I have a staff here. I'm just a simple wildlife photographer. So I'm the one doing it, and Adobe Podcast Beta makes it real simple. A few months back, we did an interview with Jamie Eagle Eye, the sweetest little kid there in England. And she is in a contest, which is partly chosen the winners by the feedback from us, the public. So if you go to the Eagle Eye, either Facebook page or Instagram, you'll find a post. And if you would just post in there, it's real simple. Just put the make a comment, number 3. She has a chance of getting to Australia as a winner. And it's really important to her. She's a great little kid. So let's see if we can't help her out a little bit. Hey, I've just become a pro-grade affiliate. What does that mean? It means that when you click on my link on the website, you will get 15% off pro-grade gear. Now, there's a couple of stipulations, like they've got big sales or things like that happening. You don't get the 15% off. But it's there. Just click on it, and it's there to help you save 15% on the gear that I use to preserve all my memories. And I just love their new SSD drives. Got them. I work with them. They are a tad bigger than I was hoping, but boy, the consistency and the speed. And they are built. They're not going to fall apart. I just love them. So that's the pro grade there on the website for 15% off. Talking about great gear and great prices, Bedfords.com. We've got PhotoCon coming up in a week. That's just the killer event. Got some great friends there speaking. You've got manufacturers. It's just amazing place. Gear, pricing. And of course, if you mention me, Moose, if you check out, you're going to see that 5% back. That's just real serious money back in your pocket. Even at the show pricing, you'll see at PhotoCon. They also have the Z9 trade-in deal, which is really sweet. And what can I tell you? I love the Z9, so it's a great deal. And they've got the new store there in Overland Park, which is basically Kansas City. And what more can you want? You've got multiple locations. You have a website. You have a phone. Great service people. Great inventory. Killer prices. Bedfords.com. Tell them Moose sent you and thank them for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. Whew, boy, that's a lot. So, the beauty of black and white. Try to help people to embrace black and white photography. And in the digital world, it's not as cut and dry or as simple as, well, a lot of people would like it to be. I've tried to help folks visually, but I have a continual, and it seems that the couple last posts of mine in black and white has brought in a lot of questions about black and white. So I thought I'd try helping folks verbally, hence the podcast. So I'm setting this up by, you know, understanding that the beauty of black and white is something that has to come from within. And a large reason is because we don't see the world in black and white. Back in the old days, some of the masters would travel around with different viewing filters, sometimes red, blue, purple, depends on the shooter and their style. And you'd look through that and it would kind of make the scene bit of a monochrome scene. And that's the first part of confusion. You've got manufacturers, camera manufacturers, who call black and white monochrome when it's anything but monochrome. So understand that black and white is color. It's just that it's a limited end of the spectrum, and we're talking about lots of different shades of white, gray, and black. Those are all colors, but we don't just see that the world in that way. And the thing that complicates it even more is the effect of exposure on those shades of black and white and gray. Now, don't take this personally, but a lot of photographers have a real challenge with exposure when it comes to expressing emotion. There is no setting, I've said this many times, I'm going to say it until I'm blue in the face and probably dead in the ground. There is no setting in the camera that says romance. There's no slider in post that says passion. You have to bring that to the forefront of your photography, especially when trying to work the beauty of black and white. It is one of the most romantic mediums we have. It's one of the most expressive. There are some incredible visuals out there you can use to start feeling black and white. That's the first challenge. You must feel it. People want to see it. You got to feel it. And it's not as simply as the white hats are the good guys and the black hats are the bad guys. It's not as simple as highlights blown out are bad and dark shadows are bad or the vice versa. You've got to feel. And that's the first real challenge. I watch photographers a lot. One of the kind of, you could say, the joys or the cynical side of what I get to do when I teach is I get to watch photographers. And I from them and their many mistakes, one, I learn for myself, and two, I have fuel to help you with your photography. And in the beauty of black and white, one of the first big mistakes is you got to feel. A lot of photographers have this unfounded belief that if you just go to black and white, it will make a crappy photograph much better. That's not the case. If you shoot some weird angle, the black and white will enforce that weird angle. This is not the case. Some people think that if it's high noon, just shoot black and white and it makes everything better. This is not the case. There is no carved in stone scenario where just shooting black and white is going to save your tuchus when things aren't going well. Black and white, to repeat, is something you have to feel. And putting your feelings into a photograph is a really scary proposition. I understand that. And the thing that really is scary about it is that if you fail, you've got to wonder, you know, about your feelings. Get over it. That's part of the process. There's a lot involved in black and white. Now, the Nikon Z8 and the Nikon Z6 III, they both have three different, what Nikon calls monochrome settings. You got your basic monochrome, you have a flat monochrome, you have a deep tone monochrome. To me, it's just black and white, flat black and white, and dramatic black and white. That's how I think about them. So the Z8 and the Z6 III have those. On the website, you search, you'll find my settings for these. You go to the Z8, Z6 settings, I'm hoping to have up this next week. I'm really delinquent. And you can see the settings I set in the camera. Now, those settings are often wondered about. How do I come by them? It's from, one, spending 20 years in the wet darkroom with black and white. The only thing that I ever won any awards and medals and ribbons and statues for was black and white work back in the day, way back in the day. And that's the one thing that I've always kind of, I've taken a little bit of pride in is being able to see with my eyes, with no other aid, and translate what I'm looking at into black and white. Now, the Z8 and the Z6 III, the reason why I brought up that has those three modes, when you go to picture control and you select one, and then you hit the italicized eye button on the back of the camera, through the viewfinder, you will now see exactly the black and white photograph you're going to capture. F-stop, focal length, exposure compensation, you're going to see it. So the pre-visualization of a black and white photograph has become way simpler. Man, I remember the old days where you take a picture, then you go on your iPhone, and you do this, and you could lose a, oh, what a pain in the butt. By the time you got done, probably the camera had already, you know, become obsolete. Now, with those two bodies, the Z8 and the Z6 III, monochrome, flat, dramatic, you hit the eye button, and right through the EVF, you're going to see your black and white photograph. It's that simple. I mean, you feel it, now you can see it, and they feed on each other. All right, so you get a little pre-visualization going. Cool. Now what? Got to take the picture. My own personal preference, and this is just my own personal preference, point blank. You gotta understand, it's just the way I like to do it. It helps the way I finish it, and most important, the way I like to print it. When I'm shooting black and white with the Z8 or the Z6 III, I stick the ISO to low 1. Yep, low 1. So if you open the image up in an ACR, it's going to say ISO 32. Oh, same thing with the Z9, but Z9, I rarely do black and white. That's why I love the Z8 or the Z6 III for landscapes, things like that, portraits, because that has those three black and white modes. And I'm going to stick those cameras into low 1. Why? Because I know what I'm going to do in post. I'm probably going to push some pixels. I'm not going to say to the breaking point, but darn close. And in that process, I can introduce noise that's not there. Literally, I am creating the noise by the way I am shooting and finishing the file. So by going to low 1, I find that I don't have an issue of noise. It just makes it simple. That's why I can take images right out of the camera and put it right on the website for monochrome / black and white. And then you see the beauty of black and white. And you hopefully feel the emotion I was feeling that said, Moose, this is a black and white photograph. Now, when it comes to finishing that photograph, and that's a little bit of a challenge, if you're in Lightroom, it doesn't show you your image in black and white. It's going to show everything in color. So you have to, one, remember that you were thinking and shooting in black and white if you use Lightroom. If you use Photo Mechanic, it's going to show your image as black and white. And that just makes finishing a whole lot simpler if you can simply look at, you know, hit the space bar, you see the whole screen, you're black and white. And then I slide over to the next screen, and there it is, Adobe Camera Raw. And it's like I can see what I saw, and then I can decide if I like that or I can change it. I have the actual black and white from the camera in Photo Mechanic to look at. It makes finishing a snap, and I like that. It's simple because black and white finishing can be hard hand-to-hand combat if you have no clue where to go. Couple things to think about. White point, black point. This is a very confusing process that in some ways is essential. Almost every photograph has a clean black point. Not many have a clean white point. It's the way in which we shoot and see the world. Adobe Camera Raw now makes it very simple that if you just hold down the shift key, that's on a Mac or a Windows, hold down the shift key. Then you double click on the triangle for the white and black in the light panel. It will take the image and will find the clean white and clean black. It could make your photograph look totally wackadoo. That's part of it. That's why I said you don't do it all the time. And it can be very difficult and challenging. Something I can't really teach or give you any tricks to here on a verbal podcast. But I can make you aware that that is there. And that's part of the black and white process. Another important part of the black and white process is the black and white mixer that's on the main panel in Adobe Camera Raw. It could be grayed out depending on which black and white mode Adobe Camera Raw decides to assign your photograph or the one you pick. That can be a real problem. I have it set up using camera matching. The black and white red most of the time for the two cameras, the Z8 and Z6 III. And with that, I now have the black and white mixer available to me. So what's a black and white mixer? If you remember some of the colors in the photograph, you can use the mixer, make them lighter or darker. The classic would be blue. Where's the blue coming from? The sky, right? So you can make that sky, that really nice polycontrast 5 dark blue gradation by simply moving the blue slider. You can change all the colors, red, yellow, orange, green, aqua, blue, purple, magenta, if they're in the photograph, and make them lighter or darker. You could do spot burning and dodging by color, and this is an incredibly powerful tool for processing that black and white. And the last thing I do after I do everything, well, it's going to be dusting or masking or the black and white slider or dehaze, clarity, whatever I'm going to do, the last thing I do before I go into Photoshop is I'm going to click on denoise. Now, denoise, what does it do? Oh, I mean, that's great stuff. How does it do it? I have no clue. That's not my thing. I do know, though, from making many big-ass prints, that when I hit denoise, the gradation in the linearity of that sky coming from the top to the bottom, because you're right, the top of the sky is top of the frame coming down towards the horizon, that gradation is cleaner and smoother by hitting denoise. And that's what you're looking for, at least I'm looking for, in the print. Because when you do all that correct in post, and you do it all correct in Adobe Camera Raw, and whatever little touches you do in Photoshop, when you go and save that as a TIFF and put it into Epson print layout, and you tell it to do black and white, man, the print's out of that P900. It's a no-brainer. Excuse me. It is absolutely spectacular black and white print from camera to print as fast as your computer can go with your clicks. And that's the beauty of black and white these days, is the fact that we can do it that simplistically, that effectively, and that beautifully. But understand, and this is essential, it all starts and ends when you go click at the camera. The rest of it is just follow through. You've got to feel it when you take the photograph if you want to feel it in the print. There's no shortcuts, no magic voodoo. It's that important yet simple. It's all based on that heart of yours going thumpity, thumpity, thump and getting engaged with the subject in the photograph. So I'm hoping that helps folks perhaps answer a couple questions or maybe get you inspired to get into to monochrome, as they want to say. Because I don't know a better, more romantic way to talk about our world than the beauty of black and white. You folks have a marvelous week. Take care. And remember to make every click your story.